The human body is inhabited by trillions of microbial cells from thousands of different species. And these microbes affect our health and well-being. So it's very important to understand them. And now with advances in DNA sequencing technology, you can actually see what's out there by looking at the microbial DNA sequence in and on our bodies. One important question to ask is, if we have two groups of people, one with a particular disease and a group of healthy individuals, can we see a difference in the composition and the relative frequencies of different microbial species in those individuals? And if we do see a robust difference, then we could conclude that perhaps the composition or the frequency of the microbial species are associated with that disease. That, in turn, could potentially lead to better treatment, diagnosis, prevention, so on. So this is the problem that I'm trying to address. Can we detect an association between microbial species diversity and frequency and a disease? This is what the data looks like that I'm working with. It can be summarized in a simple table. We have tens of thousands of species and hundreds or thousands of individuals. And we have the abundance associated with the microbial species and each sample. When statisticians have nightmares, this is what they look like. The data, this is actually a real data set sorted by the, these are species on x-axis. They're sorted by their abundance. Notice that the y-axis is in log scale. So this data is usually highly skewed. There are very few, very rare dominating species, and very few, very common dominating species, very few, very rare species. There's usually many more species than there are samples, leading to collinearity and high dimensionality. An interesting anecdote, on an average human palm, there's about 30,000 microbial species, which makes shaking people's hands a whole new adventure. There are complex relationships between the species. Some species tend to co-occur, which again leads to collinearity, and there's a need for including metadata. So we tested a number of multivariate statistical techniques, and they're powered to detect the difference in microbial composition between the group of healthy individuals and diseased individuals. We started with a publicly available data set, a real data set collected on palms of human hands, and we took half of that data and assigned it to the healthy group. And the other half of the data, we artificially, in a computer, increased the abundance of certain species. And then we applied 23 different multivariate statistical techniques and compared that power to detect the difference. So this is important. We introduced an artificial effect. So we knew what we were measuring. We could see which methods were able to detect that effect. We repeated this many times to account for natural variation in the data. I'm having problems with... Okay, here we go. Which particular microbial species abundance was increased in the case samples was varied, because we hypothesized that different methods would be able to pick up different sort of patterns in the data. So we tested the methods on data where we increased just the rare species, as many rare species that their original abundance amounted to 1% of the total abundance, or 10%. Then we looked at medium abundance species, so around the mean abundance. We also looked at common species. Those were very few. And then perhaps the most realistic setting, we looked at species whose abundance was correlated, was highly correlated. So perhaps phylogenetically similar organisms, are found more commonly in individuals with a certain disease. Here's the results. This is these plots show power curves for the best methods in each model. And we can see that it is easier to detect change in abundance in very common species or very rare species. It's more difficult to detect that difference in species whose abundance is somewhere in the middle. The other interesting thing is that the best method for each model was a different multivariate statistical method. I'll show you a little bit of that. So here, I'm just showing you two models. The model where a set of rare species abundance was increased, and then the set of correlated species. And we can see that in the case of rare species, the most powerful method by far is this metastats method. And it's very simple. It performs a series of t-tests, or Fisher's exact tests, on each species. We modified this method to account for the multivariate nature of the data. But this is the best performing method for the rare species. It doesn't do that well in correlated species. So that's the magenta line. In the correlated species, we see that principal component regression, it's the PCR, the red line, does best, closely followed by a related technique, partial least squares. So in PCR and partial least squares, you do principal components on the data, and then you take the top principal components and use those in a regression as the covariates, and regress them to the response. Lasso, an example of regularized regression, also did pretty well for correlated species. On the other hand, diversity measures, that's the orange line all the way in the bottom, wasn't very good at detecting changes in relative abundance. It could be because the samples contain the same samples, the same species, just their frequency differed. Diversity would be probably better at detecting change in species. Okay, this is on my last slide. Is this big data? Well, if we have hundreds of thousands of species and thousands of individuals, it could be big data. Also, the upstream analysis of metagenomic data involves a lot of data. But for me, this was primarily big computation. This is the time in seconds it takes to run each of the methods. This may not be impressive, but taking it all together, null hypothesis, 23 methods, 8 models, I was looking at 4.5 years of computation time on my laptop. And that's assuming that I do everything right the first time. So this is all. Thank you.
Okay. We have 1 minute left, so we can take a quick question. Does someone have a question? Any questions?
Yeah, so you're using metagenomics as opposed to 16S to generate the abundances?
This data was generated using, I believe, 16S. But I downloaded the abundance data, the abundance matrix, and that was kind of the primary input into my analysis. So anytime anyone has any count data or abundance data, it doesn't have to be metagenomic, it could be in immunology, for example, they have count data regarding the VDJ molecules or alleles. My analysis applies. Mm-hmm. So if you're using metagenomic data or data generated using the ribosomal subunits, these analyses would be the same.
Okay. Thank you so much.